Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
I happen to be training for a triathlon right now. Doing a lot of running, cycling, swimming. Well, you know all about that.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
No, actually, I don't. I play real sports. I'm trying to be the best at exercising.
With Dusty Hera.
You got to let the chest meat flow a little bit.
That's what I'm going to be doing every single night. Dollar, dollar bills, y'all.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
When your mouth is moving, Cam is not a listener.
You know what? I can already tell that I don't like you, and I'm probably not going to like you, no matter how many pull-ups or push-ups you do.
You clearly don't understand the employer-employee relationship.
Dusty and Cam on 1080.
I guess I'm starting to, and I don't like it.
The Fan.
All right, hour number two, Dusty and Cam in the Morning. Thank you for being a part of our morning, letting us be a part of yours. Trucking on through, we were talking in the first hour of P1 Social. The Match 2.0, Tiger, Phil, Peyton, and Tom. A new format that could help golf thrive. This text came in and said, you know, that was great, but don't forget this only works because of the virus and nothing else being on. And I don't know if it is just the fact that nothing else being on and the whole virus going down, because I think it would be a great change of pace and not doing it in a time where sports are abundant. But if you could have these sorts of things when there is a lull in sports, I think it would draw attention if you had, you know, mega, and you made a great point. They can't be they can't just be celebrities. They got to be mega celebrities. They have to be the best of the best that's doing this to make it something that is watchable. So you can't have it every week.
Well, it doesn't just have to be sports stars. It could be movie stars. It could be anybody that loves golf. It could, it could do any of that.
Yeah, I don't know. If you had, you know, we had this one come in, Steph Curry and John Daly versus Bill Murray and Patrick Reed. Giddy up. That one from P1 Dustin. Mix and match. I don't care, but those are people that are entertaining. They would make you laugh, but they also could hit some shots where you go, whoa. Mm-hmm. Because at some point, you know, the Tom Brady thing, you started feeling bad for him. You know, like they were, when he was really struggling, they were going shot, everybody shot for shot. They were just not even acknowledging some of Tom's shots when he was really struggling.
That was pretty funny, though. all of us that have played golf have been there. All been there.
I love Charles Barkley on the opening tee shots for everybody. The analysis of Peyton Manning's opening drive was nothing but Chuck laughing. that to me was perfect.
Like, I've been here, man.
He just laughed. He was just like, yep, that's it. That's it. I thought it was a win. We'll have some more of that coming up as the show goes on this hour. The Pac-12, will they have a plan of action by the end of the week? And a little update to what the Seahawks offseason is looking like. They make one addition. Are they done with the additions to their roster? Right now, though, it's 7:06.
What's hot?
Spoken!
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot!
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
All right. right, as reports are coming out that the NBA and Disney are in talks to have Orlando be the host site for the bubble that will host the NBA's end of regular season and or just playoff run. NBA PA President Michelle Roberts says, overwhelmingly, after talking with all 30 franchises players last week, overwhelmingly, players are ready for a return, but they want some clarity. They want a lot of, they want the nuts and bolts now. They want this thing done.
Well, even Charles Barkley, he mentioned after the weekend and said, talking to the TNT executives, the NBA will be back.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? I don't know. The nuts and bolts, what the heck does that mean? None of us know what that means. I mean, whatever the details are, if it takes a month, it takes a month. Let's go. July, it doesn't matter. Yep.
Robert said, it's time. It's been 2.5 months of what if. My players need a level of certainty. I think everybody does. And according to Woj and NBA reporters around the league, we're going to find out this week. The NBA and its owners are going to be putting a plan together for
that. No more waiting.
Return.
Let's go.
It's great news.
Yeah.
You're as cold as ice.
Free agent running back Devontae Freeman has responded to rumors that he could retire if he doesn't get the contract he was hoping for. He tweeted, I got 10 more years in me. Kill that fake retirement bleep. And by the way, F all y'all.
Wow.
He has since deleted that tweet. But he was linked to the Seahawks before the Hawks signed Carlos Hyde. It's quite the statement to make.
Yeah. Well, you just, I mean, it's a hard time to find a job right now. Nobody knows what they're going to do. Plus, you're a running back.
He is a running back.
Yeah.
And he's not like that, I mean, he had that back-to-back 1,000-yard rushing seasons, but he's more of that third down back as he's transitioning to. Really good receiver out of the backfield.
Yeah. I mean, he'll have a job immediately once everything settles in.
And you can get, how much of it do you think is they just want to make sure they can get a good look at him because of his history of injuries?
Yeah.
Like Cam Newton. The president of the University of Michigan has said no students on campus, no football. What I find interesting about that is there panic in the streets now like there was about, you know, the Pac-12 when that sentiment was put out there?
Good. We'll take the forfeit. That's fine.
I mean, come on.
1-0. We. Not coming out to Seattle. All right, fine.
One thing that we did find out, though, is Notre Dame is going to have campus open to students. They've anticipated all of them to be back on campus, and they're starting classes 2 weeks early. In order to make sure that they can have campus full of students, which means football players returning to their action, which is Jack Swarbrick, their athletic director. He said, hey, we got to have students on campus. Notre Dame saying it will happen. Students will return just 2 weeks earlier.
Correct. I think this is very unique situation that we are now in the battle lines of what is right and wrong depending on government within states. And if certain schools start to proceed and others don't, this is going to become extremely difficult to watch. It's going to be extremely difficult to watch because you're supposed to be on equal playing field with everyone else in college sports. And if some are and some aren't going to do that, how are you going to let people know that? How are you going to tell athletes that they can't do that? How are you going to tell schools and all those things that they can't do that? Well, just on the other side of this alleged line, they are.
The portal. The portal will
What's
be
the
open.
Portal? You the think portal Jim Harbaugh is going to say, let's everybody go to the portal?
Everybody's going to go to the portal. The portal holds all the answers, Cam. Two major league teams returned to their workouts as the Tampa Rays and Houston Astros had players returning to their facilities to start individual workouts. They went in groups of no larger than six players. Socially distancing, cleaning crews were on hand after anybody touched anything. Everything was wiped down, and we saw a couple players with masks throwing the ball around.
Yeah.
It's good to see, though, as baseball is inching towards a return and players are allowed to go back into facilities. It's just which teams are going to open up.
I agree.
I like that. In NHL, by the way, has entered phase two of their return. NHL has been the lost one because they're in the same boat as the NBA where playoffs were just about to start up for them too. They're in phase two, which I don't know what that means. It means that you can have your small group workouts, I guess, is part of it. But players are starting to return, and that's a good thing. And the NBA apparently has got the go-ahead that they will have players that are coming from outside of the country. They will be granted an exception to come into back into the United States.
It's good news.
So
it would be strange if they didn't allow them to come back in, but okay.
Well, you know, regular folks can't really travel with freely from other countries back into the United States.
So what you're saying is these high-profile athletes and celebrities have a different set of rules that they go by.
Yeah, that's it. That's
okay.
It. Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
Just wanted to make sure.
Yep-a-roos.
We're not normal.
All right. But over the weekend, the Oregon governor, Kate Brown, her office released a statement saying that the Ducks and Beavers will not be at a competitive disadvantage when the time comes for student athletes to return to campus. What does that mean, Mr. Cleland?
I don't know.
When you hear that, you don't know?
No, I don't know. I'll be anxious to hear what that means.
nor do I. Let's talk about it coming up next. In the Pac-12, they are going to make a decision on a return to sports. The Big 12 and SEC already have. Will the Pac-12 follow suit? Encouraging sign from Commissioner Larry Scott. We'll talk about it next on The Fan. Two bits of encouraging news about the return of college football potentially for the Pac-12 and right here in the state of Oregon. Mentioned in Hot and Cool, Governor Brown's office responding to a question about the reopening of campuses. The Ducks and Beavs will not be at a competitive disadvantage, according to the Oregonian. Governor Brown releasing a statement via her, chief of staff? I think it is, where she said, or the communications director said, anyone who's seen Governor Brown in the stands at Ducks games knows she's a huge fan and supporter of Oregon athletes. She looks forward to watching them crush the competition in the Pac-12 and throughout the NCAA this season. We will make sure they are not at any competitive disadvantage due to the current situation. This is an incredibly difficult time for all of Oregon's athletes, from professional level down to youth sports and teams. And we want to see the day when Oregon's college athletes can take the field again. The decisions their office makes regarding COVID-19 are being guided by science and health outcomes. They're active in those conversations with university leaders to determine what additional steps may be taken so that on-campus facilities can open in a safe and secure fashion to protect the health and safety of athletes, coaches, and university communities.
Okay, so it doesn't tell me what any of that means.
Well,
it sounds like a bunch of it. It's great political talk, but what are the parameters? Are you still deciding? Are you I feel like you're being very careful, and it's positivity. I will say that. But there's no real details of what will be or what won't be. There wasn't a statement that said we will have college sports. There was just competitive disadvantage. What the heck does that mean?
Well,
does that mean that potentially you will have allow them to work out at their facilities, or you will allow them to be a certain spot? You will allow all these other parameters. It's very vague. But of course, at this point in time, everything seems to be vague.
Mm-hmm. But if you take that statement right there, which is the Oregon and Oregon State won't be at a competitive disadvantage to the rest of the Pac-12.
Well, that's ridiculous, but they all will be in a competitive disadvantage. You mean to tell me Why? That the teams that are going to start in June 1st or June 5th, if they start training and have a month ahead, then what does that mean? Does it mean you'll just allow them to come back? That's kind of the specifics I would have loved to hear.
Well, but you can't do that without guidance from the Pac-12, and you have to take that statement there in conjunction with what Larry Scott said over the weekend, which is, you know, he said on CNN in an interview that he feels these student athletes, they're safer on campus than they are on their own, right? And he's saying, you know, in most cases, we feel student athletes will be in a safer position, a healthier position, if they can have access to the world-class health, medical supervision support that they can get on their campuses. And if there are issues with the virus, to have access to these world-class medical centers that we have. Now, he's saying that later this week, the Pac-12 will vote. And this is the question. The Pac-12, what do they call it? They have a stupid name for the presidents and chancellors of the universities.
Larry
right?
Scott's not in charge of whether players and athletes return to their universities.
But here,
he's not in charge of that. Those are college presidents and states.
I know, but they're going to have that vote this week. Now, do we feel that with Larry Scott having that sway and saying we feel that they're safer on campus?
Of course they are.
They're going to vote at the end of the week, and we already have June 1 is the date for the SEC. The SEC is allowing their athletes to return June 1. The Big 12 has voted June 15th is the date that their athletes can return to campus. Okay. And when you take that competitive disadvantage comment from Governor Brown, it is if the presidents and chancellors vote this week, which they're set to have a return to campus, that Oregon and Oregon State will be allowed to do so. They're athletes.
Okay, so let's play the fun game of what if they don't? What if it's not unanimous? What if they choose not to? And they say, nope, we're not going to do that. Nope, we're not going to do that. And it gets to June 15th, and then there is a competitive disadvantage.
What is starting to come out from Larry Scott's comments from the state of Arizona's reopening?
I don't have that answer.
But you don't have the definitive answer, but all we can go on is a feeling right now when you hear, Larry Scott was so guarded a month ago on this.
Oh, of course.
And now you see other conferences are doing it. We know the Pac-12 just doesn't want to be the first one to jump on board. Okay. You have a state that is open in Arizona, and then you're starting to see Governor Newsom. He came out and said, return to sports is something that we need. The loosening after a freak out a couple of weeks ago about the California schools, we're starting to see that get tampered down and say, look, hey, a return is actually something that we can handle now.
No, I know.
From a lot of state leaders. We just got to the breadcrumbs are being laid out there. And if you kind of connect the dots and follow the trail, it is that signs are pointing to the Pac-12 presidents and chancellors voting to allow at some point in June a return for athletes.
Well, of course they're going to have to because they're financially tied to all of this. And that's not, in the end, that's kind of what the most important part about that. We've had every guest we've had on from outside the Pac-12 has made every comment regarding how the conference is dead and that they're last. Well, in this decision, if they choose to be last, which is fine if you want to do that, then that's, I feel like the Pac-12 is going to let all these other conferences do all this other stuff, see how it works, and the carefulness and being, I guess it would be very guarded in what they do. I can understand that mindset, but it's not going to help you be successful in college football. It's going to be helpful in watching whether somebody succeeds or fails. But I feel like the Pac-12 is waiting around to see if somebody fails or not, waiting to see if the SEC just screws up or with the Big 12 just takes all this stuff. Or maybe there are a lot of people waiting for everyone to fail or something to go wrong again. I don't know what the right answer is. None of us really do. We do know we need athletics and we need sports and we need regular business to come back when it comes to these college things, or these whole schools are going to just go, they're just going to implode. There's not going to be anything anymore. There's nothing. So you have to come back. Waiting though, sometimes it might be the right choice. Just depends on how you look at it.
And I take a look at kind of, if you want to go even further into the local level, the OSAA release their guidelines of kind of what a return looks like. And if your county is in phase one, which I think we're up to 32 of the 36 or 34 of the 36 counties, they are back to phase one. Once the academic school year ends, then it's basically if your county is in phase one, you can do the limited social distance workouts, right? So why would, if Lane and Benton County, which is where Oregon and Oregon State are, would think that they would be allowed to do the same type of thing, because why would it be so much different as once the academic calendar is over, the campus is closed until then? then allowing them to go and
sure.
go ahead and
here's,
move
here's probably what we know if Larry Scott.
These are good signs.
Yeah, no, they're all good signs. They're all good signs. What does that mean? What does social distancing workouts mean? Your idea of one in a closed environment is different than mine, and different coaches, different scenarios, different stuff. It's going to be hard to police all this stuff eventually. Getting back to having those sports will be massive. It's so critical mm-hmm. for all those things, especially for all these environments and all the communities and all the schools, everything. People need that. They need to be able to have that activity and get back into what is a new normal. I use those terms, but sports is part of our fabric. It's part of our landscape.
Mm-hmm. And like, do you see what the Big 12 is doing with their phasing in and into all athletes to return? So June 15th is when the football players are going to be allowed back mm-hmm. on campus. And then, you know, they're going to wait a couple of weeks, and then they're going to have another phase where they're going to allow like three or four other sports, probably your fall sports like cross country and soccer and volleyball to come back. And then their third phase will be all of the other athletes will be able to come back. And, you know, they are kind of, there is this cautious way of doing it and what that will look like. I mean, my goodness, we know that there's resources to wipe down everything at the college level. You know, we know they have the resources to do that in the smaller groups.
Okay, are you just going to start to say the youth level and there's no way to stop it?
What do you mean? What?
We know that colleges that have tons of money and tons of stuff that they're going to do they have the resources to be able to stop all this and make masks and make sure all these athletes are clean and healthy? And do they have all these products? No, everybody's learning something by the second. And youth programs and all these other things are learning something by the second. Nobody has all the resources and the funding to be able to do all this perfectly. It's impossible.
Well, I'm talking the college football. If you have a $50 million budget for your college football program,
you'd be surprised how fast that drains.
But you're going to have to make some cuts elsewhere in order to make sure that you can have those parameters in place. You know, but what I'm talking about, the resources being there, yeah, you know, you might not have as many uniforms this year, but guess what? You're going to have a football season because you're going to be able to work out because you're going to take those precautions that are going to be mandated. That's what I'm saying by the resources. Cuts going to have to be made somewhere else. Absolutely, they will. But the resources are there, and I know that money goes fast. But at the highest college level, they got the money to make sure that they can sanitize all of the workout equipment after each use.
Sure. I find it very difficult to be perfect in this. And that's maybe that's the aspect is there's got to be a little bit of risk left. There has to be.
Well, and I think there is that idea that it's not going to be perfect because nobody knows the answers to
110%.
You yep. know,
I don't know.
You don't know. So perfection is something, and I think that is one of the keys from the pro sports leagues that are coming out, and it's trickling down, is, hey, we can't be 100% foolproof. And, you know, if there is a positive test or a couple positive tests, that shouldn't shut us down completely. And I think that is trickling down to the collegiate levels as well, is that, hey, there is a risk that's going to have to be made here. But we'll find out if everybody's willing to do it. And that's going to be the other one. How many parents do you think are going to be like, no, my kid's just not going?
Some, but but there'll be also another 100 lined up to say, let's go.
You're dang right they will. So a little bit of optimism from the Pac-12 and Governor Brown here over the weekend as a potential vote for the Pac-12 to a plan of action for a return is expected this week. Hey, Seahawks made a move over the weekend, and could it be the only one left? Here's Buck with SportsCenter. All right, after reports, it was looking like the Seahawks were going to sign Devontae Freeman last week. They pull a Lee Corso, not so fast, my friend. And they go, whoop. Carlos Hyde, the newest member of the Seahawks backfield. Interesting move by the Seahawks to go ahead and get Hyde. Now their running back stable includes Chris Carson, Rashad Penny, and Who is Travis Homer, the rookie, and then Carlos Hyde. You got four running backs.
And the drafted DJ Dallas.
Yeah, DJ Dallas, too, who they picked up in the draft. They got five running backs. And does this say anything in your mind to the concerns over the hip injury to Chris Carson or the torn ACL to Rashad Penny and kind of the timetable for their return and maybe not being back for the beginning of the season?
Kind of fits along the same lines of having nine tight ends on the roster right now. Yeah, yeah, depth. Yeah, you need a running back. They ran out of running backs at the end of last year, didn't they? In fact, they had to get an old man to come back at 34 years old. Yeah, add as much as you can. You can add 50, 60 guys. You got 90 roster spots. Bring them all in, keep four. Makes a ton of sense and competitive. You're not overpaying anybody. I mean, that's just, you got to add depth. This makes a lot of sense. It's smart. Tight end, they're doing the same thing because they ran out of tight ends at the end of the year last year. So it's exactly what you do. You address your needs and you make sure that you take care of all those things heading into camp.
You have guys, though, they're coming off. It's not just minor surgeries, though. You have Chris Carson hip surgery. Was it the labrum in his hip that he had to repair? And then a torn ACL for Rashad Penny. The team's kind of standard response is they'll be ready to go on both of them. But we've seen this play out before with the Seahawks and in injuries where they always kind of say, Pete Carroll always played the optimist and be like, yeah, they'll be ready to go. They'll be ready to go. And then all of a sudden, guys are lingering and they're not necessarily in camp and ready to go when things start to ramp up. Carlos Hyde, a good fit in your mind to what they do? He rushed for 1,000 yards with the Texans last year.
I never know. I think it's a good fit. I was more interested in maybe over the reports of listening to Seattle over the weekend, maybe Russell Wilson and wanting to have a better running game. And of course he does, because that's just going to make things much better. I mean, that whole team is based on that, their foundation of it. So they brought in a lot of offensive linemen and great running backs, and let's go. But you're only going to go, all this is minutia. It's all just crap unless Russell Wilson plays great and you protect him, because it's just depth. Because you can see that he can carry you into the playoffs. No problem. Seahawks can be carried into the playoffs with Russell Wilson. Now, how you beat him? How are you going to beat San Francisco? I can beat the better teams if you have to go on the road, because they haven't been able to do it since they hosted the NFC Championship game, because it's hard to go on the road and win in the playoffs. It's just too hard to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Russell,
running back's not going to make the difference on whether this team wins a Super Bowl or not. I'm sorry to say right now, just not. It's whether you can stop a team on defense, because as you can see, that's kind of important. Just ask the San Francisco 49ers. Okay. Running game is not going to be the difference maker. It's not. Antonio Brown might be a nice little addition if that report is interesting in Russell Wilson.
Well, that's a thing.
Defense and be able to be dynamic. Now, running game will get you solid wins. It'll keep you in that, but it's not going to be the difference maker.
That is, Russell Wilson did say he'd love to add Antonio Brown.
Yeah, who wouldn't if he was calm and if he was reliable and wasn't a distraction?
Well, good luck getting that.
31 teams would love to have him. I would sign up to having him in the locker room all day long, because he's a wide receiver and he's a diva and you know what you got. That's different than bringing in Cam Newton to be a backup to your Hall of Famer, which you will be a Hall of Famer in Russell Wilson. That's a different deal, because that already adds enough turmoil. This is, you just bring in another guy to say, all right, let him run around in training camp, see if he pans out, see if he wants to have a chance. And if he doesn't, you cut him.
Seen, though, that this guy
he
is...
cut Terrell Owens when Terrell Owens came into camp. Said, you know what? You're just not working out. They tried it before.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting one with Antonio Brown, because everything that you're saying is exactly why, you know, he was brought into Oakland, and then why he was brought into the Patriots, and both those franchises just said, all right, the diva is a little bit too much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's way too much at this point.
Nothing wrong with the risk. The risk doesn't hurt you as a brand. It doesn't hurt your team. It doesn't. You don't guarantee him a lot of money. You put up tons of incentives. It doesn't hurt anything.
So that's a fascinating thing, because a lot of people look at, you know, and you'll hear it all the time, is you don't want to bring a guy like this into your locker room. You don't think that a guy like a wide receiver is enough to rip apart a locker room?
No, I just, not at this point in time, because you already know what he brings. I don't think that you're bringing him under the parameters. He's going to be a four-year guy. It's going to be a lockdown. He's going to be the foundation of your team. He is a piece that you add, and if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, there's no loss, because you can add younger depth. You still have DK Metcalf. You have a, you bring in some younger talent. You have a, you have Greg Olsen, who's a nice, stable veteran. Maybe a 1 year, maybe he might play another. We don't know at tight end. You still have Russell Wilson as your foundation, and your defense is getting a little bit better. It's not, of course, the Legion of Boom, but it's better. You have depth. You still haven't signed Jadeveon Clowney. He's still unsigned. You don't know what you're doing there. I mean, Antonio Brown is just, he's kind of a laughing stock at this point. If he straightens up and plays well, it's good.
And you won't be tied to him necessarily as much as you would be in other years, because you did go out and you got Philip Dorsett, who is a solid receiver. I mean, he's not going to be the game changer, but your receiving core is not as depleted as it was before you went out and acquired Philip Dorsett. Yeah. So you're not completely barren. You'll have Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, Dorsett, Greg Olsen, and then I don't know, whatever one of your eight other tight ends that you have, whether it's Disley or Hollister or whomever it may be. Yeah. You're starting to see a little bit of depth built on the offensive side, but as you started this entire segment off with, you could have all the weapons in the world. If you can't protect Russell Wilson, you're not winning.
Well, you better bring in a lot, or you better find a way to stop, because your division is going to be the toughest division. It's the two divisions in sports that are going to be difficult, or in sports. We're talking about the NFL, the NFC West, okay, and the NFC South. I know you want to say the AFC West, but I'm Denver. L.A.
Well, outside of the Chiefs, LA, prove it.
Vegas. I don't have anything. I have certainty that the 49ers and the Seahawks are going to be solid. Arizona is going to be unequivocally much better. And who wants to throw the Rams out? The Rams are not going to be an easy out either. So that this division is, it's ruthless, and you better have some depth.
There are no easy outs in the NFC West. I think every other division you can say, all right, there's at least one, you know, road apple. Whether the AFC North could be pretty good, Baltimore, Pittsburgh with a healthy Big Ben, Cleveland shouldn't be as bad, but you
the
know,
history of this division has shown Stefanski. You that, it, the history of this division has shown you since the turn of the last decade, it is not, sorry, it's just not, it, there's no weaknesses in it. You can't just go out there and say it's garbage. It's not anymore.
Nope, it sure isn't. Who do you think is the odd man out then in the NFC West? Because I tend to believe it's the Rams.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it can be a tough division, but there will be one team that's under 500 just based on the fact that you have
I'm not sold on. I'm not here to throw Arizona. I'm sorry. Arizona doesn't get a full pass and say they're immediately going to be the team in. So it's Arizona until I see the Rams fail. I'm not going to vote the Rams out at all whatsoever, because Arizona might be better, but what, they have four wins last year? What if they get seven? Is that a bad season for them? I don't think so. Expectations are out the window in a second-year coach with a second-year player, and they added arguably the best wide receiver in the game. That doesn't just change them into a – that doesn't take their defense. They had the best draft pick, I think, in the top 10 when it comes to defense.
Isaiah Simmons.
Yeah. But there's no way I'm going to just say they're better than the Rams yet. No way.
No. What's the worst division in football then?
The AFC East. The AFC East.
Yeah.
I feel like you could make an argument for the NFC East as well.
You know, there's bounce backs in history, but Philly's healthier. Giants.
For sure.
Dallas. Dallas is a playoff team.
But didn't we say that Philly was healthier last year?
Well, you didn't see them losing 40% of their roster in the last month.
Yeah, Buffalo is also a playoff team in the AFC East.
Quality, but is anybody winning the Super Bowl in the AFC East? Ask yourself that question.
Is anybody in the NFC East? I'm not buying Dallas yet.
Oh, all right. That's fair.
Dallas.
I would not say that. You mean to tell me that Philly is healthy? That's the big ifs. And you have Carson Wentz there, and everybody's a little bit healthier.
The Carson Wentz being healthy is the big if.
Yeah.
Right?
Very true.
You know, they lost, you know, 40% of their roster.
Do you have Super Bowl contender in your division? That makes a big that makes a difference. Certainly.
In the AFC East, does not. Does the NFC North? We consider Green Bay a Super Bowl contender. They got a really good quarterback.
Went 13-3 last year, I know, but it was a masquerading 13-3. I called it a masquerading 13-3.
That's right.
I don't think they have a Super Bowl contender, but their division is tough.
Yeah, well, the division just wasn't very good last year. You know,
I'm full going to backpedal in. There's two quality teams in that division right now. That's it. Minnesota and Green Bay. The other two, Detroit is terrible. They're floundering. Chicago, I don't know what they're going to do at quarterback.
Hey,
I don't know how they're going to fix that deal. Yeah, Nick Foles is not the long-term answer. I'm sorry. Nick Foles is a small Band-Aid. He might be the flexible Band-Aid on a gusher.
Matt Nagy said he knows what the fix is. It's they're going to play their starters a little bit more in preseason.
Oh.
That'll do it.
Horrible idea.
Oh, and you missed it last week. You missed last week. The day you left, all of a sudden, out of the woodwork, like four Detroit Lions come out and backed Matt Patricia. What was up with that?
Because they like their job.
Danny Amendola is sitting there and he's saying, hey,
great
man, this place is great for me. I love it.
Oh, wonderful. I see how many free agents love to show up there. Let me know how popular Detroit is.
Well, okay. I don't know if that's popular, period, but flowers.
Matt Patricia may be a very good defensive coordinator. I have yet to see anything that makes me say great leader as a head coach.
Man, we're going to send him the Cam Cleland with the clown nose t-shirt on so he can wear that, huh?
Yeah, just why doesn't he wear more fat clown shirts?
Triple XLs, baby. All right, a 17-hour workout, and could we see the trilogy of Holyfield Tyson next on The Fan?
All aboard!
What in God's name are we doing?
What?
Most sports talk segments are designed to keep the average fan informed while sparking traditional debates.
I have another story that will take you off the rails.
This is not that segment.
A fungal spore
growing in his lungs.
It's time to get away from the games.
He choked out a mountain lion and saved his life.
And get into the most bizarre, shocking, and hilarious news stories of the day.
Do you understand that most of the country thinks that you're one of the stupidest people around right now?
It's time for Off the Rails.
Millennial dogs are like, nope.
With Dusty and Cam in the morning.
They crossed their paws and said, I'm done with it.
On 1080.
Stupid covers all genres.
The Fan.
All right, time to go off the rails, where former University of Washington, current Ram safety, Taylor Rapp, he went a little crazy over the weekend. He said he attempted to challenge where you try to burn 10,000 calories in one day, and he was able to do it. In the course of doing this, he did a 125-mile bike ride, 1.5 mile or 1.25 miles swimming, 4 miles hiking, a 3 mile run, and a short workout, and 7,300 feet of elevation later, he completed his 10K calorie challenge. Took him from 4:30 in the morning till 9 o'clock at night to do.
Yeah, why not?
Why? I mean, that no, not why not. Why is the question? My gosh!
Wow, you need to spend more time on YouTube, man, and see what these people love to challenge.
10,000 calories.
I've seen somebody play the 10,000 calorie eating challenge before. This skinny punk just sits there and eats ice cream for 10,000 calories. This guy gets paid millions of dollars on YouTube to do these dumbass things. Why not? Do we call this crazy, what Taylor Rapp did? What, is it crazy?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Exercising?
Yeah.
He could have easily broke a leg riding a bike or drowned swimming.
Hit by a car running.
Or he could have had a weight fell on his head. Risk. Challenge. That's what we do as humans. It's fun. I find it pretty cool. I would love to try the 10,000. No, I couldn't do it in a day. It might take me a week.
It's incredibly cool. 18 hours and 21 minutes, according to his tracking of active time. He burnt 10,521 calories, took 93,963 steps during his day.
That's awesome. That's pretty impressive to be able to do that.
What I find,
now, I walked 36 holes once. That took a lot out of me. It took a lot out of me.
Feel like a champ?
Yeah, no, but I felt great. I felt great. Physically a little sore, but that's part of the deal.
I can't believe, though, you know, the 10,000 calorie challenge, it's like, did he know going into it what he would have to do? Like, that's the question that I have. Is like, you sit there and you go, 10,000 calories. Do you know what that takes heading into it to burn 10,000 calories in a day.
Or you just keep going until your watch tells you you reach 10.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what software did he use to
Polar? It says Polar, the tracking device.
Okay.
Polar tracking. It looks like it's one of the ones that goes around your chest, you know?
Okay.
But I don't know what the most incredible part of it is. It's definitely not the 3 miles of running or the 4 miles hiking, but he did 125 miles total of bike riding. 103 was one ride, 103 miles. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that
Peloton or real bike.
Oh, real bike.
Oh, real bike.
Real bike. He has it tracking. He lives, it appears he lives in
California.
No. No.
Where's he live in his off season? Because he's from Bellingham, Washington. Yeah.
He does live in Bellingham.
Oh, he does live in Bellingham.
He lives in Bellingham. It looks like his ride took him as far south as, it looks like it says Sailfish.
Huh?
Saltfish? I don't know.
Salish? How
sure.
do you spell it?
I don't know. You can't see because the little line goes through it
can't
that
be
his track. It went south to coastal town, but then it went as far north as Linden, over to Pleasant Valley, down through Mountain View by Ferndale, back to Bellingham on his bike ride. But I don't know if that's more impressive than swimming 1.25 miles. Because have you ever tried to swim like a really long distance?
No.
Like 1.25 miles is... that's a long ways to swim.
I hope he had some people watching him. I hope he had a boat pacing him and a car behind him while he was riding his bike.
See, I don't think he had the boat pacing him though, because he just was like kind of threw this together and was like, "All right, I'm going to go do it." Yeah. I mean,
I like the challenge. It's kind of like the guy that gets in the boat and says, "I'm going to row myself from England to Florida." He just wants to get in a rowboat. Now it's a nice designed rowboat. But people just do crazy stuff. They want to do it.
But don't they do that to make money? Like you can make money off of the sponsorships and stuff like that?
I don't know. I think
they're...
You see the crazy guys on the interwebs jumping off and doing the base jumping where he's hanging off a diving board and
That guy's an idiot.
What?
They
did a whole documentary on a guy that free climbed with no ropes.
That's right. And he made money off it.
Humans are crazy. Humans are amazing. And they do... I love the risk because I like watching someone else risk it, not me.
Also, just as impressive, his sleep. Apparently, he only slept 4 hours the night before. Doing that off of 4 hours of sleep is pretty impressive. 18 hours of active time on 4 hours of sleep.
We talk about an optimal athlete, too.
To be young again.
Peak of their times, and they're young in their 20s, and they're full of tons of energy. And yeah, he's been probably pent up for a few months.
I ate like a jalapeno cheeseburger 2 days ago, and I'm still feeling the after effects of that. Like.
Wow.
You know, there's something about being, I know, I am really old. I now know, I used to be like, you know, when my dad would like be stinking it up, I'd be like, "Dad," he's like, "Ah, a couple days ago, ate something spicy." And I used to be like, "What are you talking about?" Now I'm feeling it. It's like my first 2 day hangover I ever had. You just sit there and you're like, "Oh boy, got a 2-dayer now. I'm officially old." This is another sign. I ate something spicy, feeling it 2 days later. I'm officially old. Hit that point. At 22, you can do whatever the hell you want, though.
Sure can.
You can apparently burn 10,000 calories in a day.
If you were going to do a 10,000-calorie challenge, how would you do it? I would choose none of those activities.
What would you do? You ain't going to do it playing golf.
Says who?
Says this challenge.
Says time.
He swam 1.2 miles.
I didn't tell you I had to do it in a day. You didn't tell me I had to do it in a day.
Well, no, that is the 10,000 calorie challenge.
You have to do it in a day?
Yes.
I've never heard of that.
He said...
There's 24 hours in a day, right?
He said, "I attempted a challenge where you try to burn 10,000 calories in one day."
But they're 24 hours. You just said in life. He said he did it in what, 14 hours?
17.
18.
17. Okay, well, so that would mean if you'd have to do... What if I wore a 100-pound weight vest and ran in between and did speed golf?
That'd be miserable.
But what if I did that?
I don't know. Well, then
what if I did it in a Tibetan golf course at elevation?
You have to. You just wear the Marshawn mask. You know the altitude mask.
What if I played in Machu Picchu? Machu Picchu.
They have a golf course up there?
I don't know. Maybe.
Machu Picchu. But maybe. I don't know. Yeah. You'd have to play like 72 holes of golf with your 100-pound vest and your elevation mask on.
Make it happen.
Running in between. All right, let's make it happen.
I remember my son telling me when he went to China, and he talked about how he was walking up trying to do the steps at the Great Wall of China, and they were huge steps. Like, those that had never been to the Great Wall, I haven't, but my wife did. He said he was walking up there. His legs were just shaking with fatigue, with trying to climb those huge steps. And he said he just felt like his legs were collapsing because these guys are hiking at this stuff. And I remember him telling me, I was laughing at him going, okay, I remember what it's like to have shaky legs.
The steps are like four times the size or distance of a regular step. And then on top of it, the humidity and the pollution makes it like so hard.
Pollution's a big one there. You got to fight that. We're not used to it. We have our pansy lungs out here living in the Northwest. We don't have a lot of pollution to deal with.
Our pansy lungs.
That's right. That's right.
Never heard that description, but okay.
Well, we do. We have.
Lungs.
Yeah, we're not used to inhaling exhaust all day long. No. You know? Gosh, we live in such a horrible area. Don't tell anybody. 55305, that's a fan text on Cam is going to play 72 holes of golf with a 100-pound weight vest running in between holes and going to burn 10,000 calories tomorrow. Can you get it done? Let's do it.
Need an ambulance following me.
Maybe we'll have to wait another day. All right, coming up next, Reggie Bush is making headlines, but is he wrong on name, image, and likeness? Dustin Cam on the Fan.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!